I'm so sorry, but you have to see me again. Glad we're here. You know, there was a lot of warnings and a lot of passages in the Bible of what happens when God's word and his commandments aren't passed on to generation after generation, and how it's so easily for things to change and people to get away from what God would have us to do. It was a warning for them, it was a warning for us. We have to make sure that we pass on those important things that God has told us and commanded us to do, not only in worship, but in our daily lives and living. And one of those things I'd like to look at today is just the subject of closure. Are we teaching our children what God has taught us about closure? And it covers many facets of our life. It's not just the death of a family member. Closure comes in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different areas of our life. Let's look first at a familiar passage, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, and a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Oh, what a wonderful design God has created, so that everything functions correctly and order is always maintained in that creation. Something has changed, though. Is it because of not understanding God's design? Or perhaps we've forgotten about closure? If you would, please turn with me to John, the 17th chapter. And here Jesus is speaking in verse 4. He says, I glorified thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. That was his words to his Father. If we turn over a few more chapters to John chapter 19, I'd like to begin there in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, in order that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head. And he gave up his spirit. It is finished. It's so very important for us to understand when something is done, when something is complete, when something has come to an end, when something is finished. We need closure. And the absence of an end is painful. Actually, the absence of an end is unnatural to what God designed. Remember, if you will, all the years that Jacob mourned for his son Joseph. Do you remember that story in the Bible? That reaccount of a true act in life? He was led to believe that his son had been devoured by a wild beast, when in fact his older brothers had sold him to some traders. In Genesis chapter 37, Genesis 37 and verse 34, It tells us about Jacob and how he reacted to the news. So Jacob tore his clothes. He put sackcloth on his loins. He mourned for his son many days. Then all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "Surely I will go to Sheol in mourning for my son." So his father wept for him. He refused to be comforted. We can too. He said that he would go to his grave or go to Sheol mourning for the loss of his son. And he wept. And he wept. And he wept. How many families suffer the same agony for a child or a family member who is missing, who is kidnapped, who has run away, or never returned home from a war? If only they knew for sure. When Jacob was told years later that indeed Joseph was alive, we read about that in Genesis chapter 45. We'll begin in verse 27. When they told him all the words of Joseph that he had spoken to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. Then Israel said, "It is enough. My son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." You see, we all need closure. We need to know if it is or if it isn't. We need to know when it's time for something to be at an end so we can go on and not stay in that same state of misery and pain. Now, in my opinion, you've seen on TV where it says that the words of the following program is not necessarily those of this station. What I'm about to say is not necessarily what the other two elders would say. But in my opinion, I dare say that people are messed up in this old world today. Children are messed up. Parents are messed up. Families are messed up. They no longer function properly as God would have us to function. There are many reasons why, but basically the fault is found in not following God's word and the patterns that he has set so plainly before us to follow. The sad thing is we can all deviate from that. And we have to try very hard not to. One of those created patterns that God has set into place is indeed closure. It is therefore important for us to be taught and to understand when something is finished, when something is done, so we can go on, still living the way God would have us to live. For those of you who have had the opportunity to be in or raised in a rural environment, before the sun ever comes up in the morning, in the early hours of every new day, there's a stillness across the whole earth. Just before the first light, the birds begin to sing. God's creation begins to come alive again for another day. All of nature now awakes and is busy with the normal activities that they are going to do. The birds are flying, the birds are eating, the squirrels are running, they're climbing, they're jumping. We hear the dogs barking, we see the fish jumping in the lakes as they feed the early feed. The hawks soar high above us in the air, and the buzzards glide in circles looking for food. The day then passes. Finally, evening settles in. And how many times have we seen the wind begin to lay? The birds begin to hush their singing. The sun sets and the darkness blankets a resting earth. And as you look upward, the moon slowly walks across the starry sky, and God's creation by design now is at rest. But not all. Not the world. The world says it's party time. The world says it's the nightlife that's important, the drinking, to go out to eat, to go to shows, to play games, to run to their excess for parties and fun. 20 years ago, now this happened 20 years ago, I'd come home from work at 2 or 3 in the morning after working overtime, driving down Madison Avenue in Greenwood. And I'd come home from work and there would be what I supposed to be 8 to 12 or 13 year old boys and girls walking down the sidewalk, riding their bikes in the streets, roaming, wandering, getting into mischief. Where's the parents? Where's the guidance? Where's the restraints? And this was 20 years ago. And you look on the news, you see what we have now. When things aren't taken care of, they continue to get worse, from bad to worse. It's no surprise. It's no surprise then that lives without God's natural patterns become wild, uncontrolled, dysfunctional, and crazed. We looked at a day. In a larger view, God has all given us the same pattern in the yearly seasons that we enjoy. Spring comes, things come to life, birth, new growth. Summer, it's a time where things are producing, to do things, to accomplish things. Fall is a time to reap, to start slowing down, and preparing for everything to wind down for the next season, which is winter, when God's earth goes to rest. God created spring, summer, fall, and winter. God created a day to awake, to run a full course, to slow down, and then to rest, a natural design for us all to follow. God created our lives from birth. He made us that we would continue to grow. He made it so there would be a time that we'd be productive individuals in this life, and he made it so there'd be a period of slowing down in our latter years. And then he made it so that we would die. The Bible tells us that our bodies are nothing more than a tent, a temporary house for a short time here on this earth. We need to teach our children and our nieces and our nephews about closure. If we have forgotten ourselves, we should probably take the opportunity to relearn or refresh our memory of the importance of closure and the design that God naturally put for us to follow. There is indeed a time for everything. Well, how many families will heed the warning? Well, I ask every one of you to awake your children, to go get your nieces or nephews early some Saturday morning and sit on the porch or sit out in the backyard or sit near a woods or on the edge of a lake and watch the day awake the way God designed it to. Hear the birds start singing and the sun rise. Play hard all day. Work hard all day. Then sit in the evening and let them see the creation that God has created begin to slow and watch the sunset. Explain to them that God had established a time for everything, a time to wind down, time to rest. As you tuck them into bed, read to them from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. A time to give birth, a time to die, a time to be silent, a time to speak. Now it's time to go to sleep. There's a time for everything. When we understand God's design of endings in this realm, we can find closure. And that's so important because we will close chapters of our lives continually throughout our lives. We will close chapters with friends that we once had, and we won't have them anymore. We will close chapters of relationships We will close chapters in our lives of losing jobs and have to start again. We'll have chapters of our lives where we've worked all of our life and then we've had to retire. We have to close that part of our life down. We have to understand how and that it's natural. And the loss of loved ones, the moving away from a childhood home, we have to learn to move on. The earth. When the earth was born, God created the heavens and the earth and all of its works. And he set everything in motion. Once the earth was established, there was a time of growth of all living. And God said, let it be fruitful, multiply everything, and reproduce after its own kind, as God commanded it to do. And after that happened, this earth, there has been a time of maintaining and perhaps a time of slowing down. And I say that because according to the scriptures, we are now in the last days. This place will also pass away. This temporary abode or dwelling place, this earth, it was only made to be here temporarily anyway. And it too shall pass away. Turn, if you will, with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, I'd like to begin reading in verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. That day is going to come. And since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, spotless, blameless. Jesus accomplished what he was sent here to do. He said, it is finished. That's closure. When that day comes, unknown to any of us, God will say, it is finished. And this earth will pass away with a roar. That's closure. So what manner of persons ought we to be, hastening the coming of the day of God? You know, it was Paul who wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. And oh, if we can all say this ourselves. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's closure. Let us always strive to do likewise. And all that we know and see around us will pass away, but God did put something in each and every one of us that's eternal. Our soul and our spirit that returns to him after we die. Now it will live eternally in one of two places. We'll either be with him in heaven to worship and praise and sing for eternity, or we will be cast out into eternal death where there is darkness, because he is light, the absence of all love and blessings and kindness. Those are the two choices. That's the eternal part of each and every one of us. let us strive to be what we're supposed to be as Christians, and let us strive to teach everyone his neighbor so that they're prepared on that day as well. Closure. And there may be someone here today who is not a Christian. Well, we would suggest that you take that old life and you close it out. And we'll be glad to study with you from God's word and see what he wants you to do and start anew. Have your sins forgiven and have a hope of heaven like we are striving to do here this day. To put on Christ in obedience. If there's some way that we can help you or assist you or pray for you, we would ask that you would come forward at this time as together we stand and sing.